Page 71, negotiating an all-cash deal. The inventory typically comes from these sources, be lender-owned property or HUD property or VA property, government-owned, that type of thing. It can be probate property. It can be absentee owner property. And what will be coming up down the pike will be private party carryback properties or even hard money lender properties. One of the things that we're putting in the lender book that we're putting together for everybody is all of the hard money lenders in California, because they will have made, say, 50% loan-to-value loans on land. And trust me, those lenders don't want that back. And so you have a real running start at a discount at some inventory. I'm looking forward to continuing building properties in California, and I would imagine that my next inventory of lots will be by following the trustee sales, where some lender loaned a pile of money like they did in Rosamond and will take it back and no one will want them. So if you're patient during this next cycle and you're looking at the right inventory, you could end up with the next super deal. And a super deal to me is one that ends up netting more than $1 million. Those will be out there for in the next 5 years. There will be some things that just the inventory will not fit the market today, but if you have time to hold it for a little while, when that returns, you can make a lot of money. Typical objections to a low price offer is that, well, of course, the price is too low. And a lot of times, we're going to have to get very good at explaining why that is a reasonable offer. And when we talk about dealing with objections, we're going to deal with that and trying to explain to them why this offer has some validity. Because that's going to be one of the problems, is you're going to have brokers look at your offer, and it was just mentioned to me right before I got up here. I presented an offer using your formula. I showed it to the broker. He says, that's so ridiculous, I will not present it to the lender. That is a broker. Now, he said, the gentleman went back at the broker a little bit and said, well, these are my costs. And the broker basically said, I really could care less about your cost. My concern is with my seller. Now, is that the broker that you want representing your stuff? Not in the least. Find another broker. We've got to have somebody that understands what it is that we do, because they're the inroad into the inventory. And so, in a way, we get to delegate a lot of that heat. Remember when Mike was talking about, when I interviewed him up here, that he had tried different agents presenting offers, and there was one guy that was more successful than any of them. But he almost had to take a nap at noon because he felt so abused by the time he had been through all the brokers. It's not an easy thing to get people to look at offers that are below what they thought they should be. But in the market that's coming up, here's what's going to happen. This is exactly the scenario. You're going to get lenders in the beginning thinking that this is still worth retail price. And they're going to hold on to it, and it's going to go past 30 days and 60 days and 90 days, and they're going to fix it up, and it's going to be all pretty, and they're going to have one of them get broken into and tore up. And then they're going to do it again. Now, whatever happened to the profit center that they were hoping for has just disappeared. They've now repaired it twice. They've hung on to it for 4 or 5 months. And now they're probably in a declining market where they finally net some number that they never dreamed was possible. And they should have accepted an all-cash offer day one from someone like us. They need to have that story told to them by a broker. And hopefully it's their listing broker or it's a broker that represents you. But somewhere along the line, it's going to dawn on them, uh-oh. Now, at the auction process, that becomes the most legitimate way to understand what the masses think of a property. In the East Coast, I forget the state that's really hurt the worst right now, but they're holding auctions, not because they're trying to max out price, but because the lenders are trying to get rid of their inventory. And they're having trouble getting an $850,000 bid out of a 1.7 appraisal. That's a pretty good indication that no one wants the stuff. Now, if the lender has to sell the property at that kind of an auction, people like us can get big smiles on their faces because it's finally our turn. And so it will be a good time. But that's the kind of inventory that's going to be coming down the pike and the kind of attitude change that's going to happen. Even though the increases right now are percentage, they're large in percentage, the numbers are still small compared to a big problem. So we're going to have to wait until next year where quarter after quarter, these things build momentum at 500 and 1,000% a time. And all of a sudden, by the end of next year, the lenders are going to be reeling. And they will have just started to have the problem. So we just have to be a little bit patient. But the buy-sell business really will start working late this year. We will really start seeing inventory starting to get dumped by lenders, and it'll increase. And then the builders will bring their auctions to the party. And then it's going to be on for real, because once they auction their property at a discount, that'll damage the inventory. And somebody came up here and mentioned to me that he was following the list in foreclosures, and he had a cutoff date that he would only look at any loan that was 2004 and older because of the equity position. You know what percentage of the foreclosure list he was following with just that one criteria? Only 24% of the list. 76% of it were from loans from 2005 and 6. That makes perfect sense. Those people never will have equity. Now, what's going to happen is a lot of that inventory is not old, but it's new. It's new builder stuff. So they're going to take back these properties. These builders are going to have trouble selling out their inventory, and they're going to be trying to all sell inventory at the same time. The lender's going to have an REO priced at below market, and the builders are not going to have a prayer selling it at retail because he's got to compete with that inventory. So he puts on an auction, and boop. There we go. Anyway, it's good times for us. We knew this was coming. All right. So our objections that we have to deal with, the price is too low and the repair estimate is too high. Private parties, you're dealing with the repair estimate too high. The price too low can be everybody's concern, and it's kind of our business to persuade them that it's a reasonable thing that we've done, is make them an offer to take their position. Main concerns of the seller, if they in fact consider our offer, is they want to avoid fixing the property. And typical lender inventory, especially in the early cycle, won't be the nice, beautiful four-bedroom, two-bath. The beautiful, I sound like a realtor, investor delight, two-bedroom, one-bath, 700 square feet, built in 1892. No. We're not going to see the two-story, two-year-old house go for cheap on the list in the lender's property-owned properties. What's going to end up happening first is they're going to start unloading the illegal room additions on us and that type of stuff. That's what we'll end up buying. We can still do it profitably, but we have to realize that during that early cycle, they're going to be choosy as which ones they let out at a discount. Eventually, it'll be in a ballroom twice as big as this where they start auctioning off all of their stuff. But sellers want to avoid fixing the properties, and that's private parties and lenders alike. They want to eliminate liability. Lenders are more conscious of that probably than private parties, but a vacant property can be a problem. They want to sell as is and not get sued. That is a concern. Can't believe the paperwork that I have had to deal with being a builder selling a house to a first-time buyer. Each file that I have is this thick, and I don't even know that I understand half the stuff I sign every time. It keeps on getting more and more convoluted every time, and so the idea of somebody getting something they didn't anticipate, lender sale or whatever, it's a very good likelihood that somebody's going to turn around and sue somebody. So that's a real concern. The seller of a property that goes cheap wants to get rid of the hassle and turn a dead asset into cash. One of the niches we talked about is driving around and looking at vacant houses. That vacant house is doing nothing but costing somebody money. And when they finally decide if they're going to take an all-cash offer that's below market, it's because they're finally wanting to use some of the money to do something positive with. And it's not important always to get top price. And if they're not willing to fix it, they just won't be able to get full price. If sellers want to avoid the city tearing down the property, That happens, especially in San Bernardino. If you have a fourplex in a certain area, they're almost excited to tear a fourplex down. And so you have to be very careful about a city's attitude toward the area that you're investing in. There was this area in San Bernardino where they knocked down 22, 24 fourplexes of an investor. Yeah, and he had already rehabbed them. Yeah, I don't know how they can do it. I'm sure that some lawyer got a hold of that one, and but they literally want this whole area gone, and the city, if they have the wrong attitude, they can find a reason. My building, I fixed some fourplexes in that area, and then I got out. They actually red-tagged my construction project. Why? Because a tree limb was touching my roof line. That's a red-taggable offense in San Bernardino. So I had to correct that before they knocked my fourplex down. That's a pretty strange thing. But at any rate, people that get notices that their properties are about to get leveled get motivated. And so sometimes they sell. Here's our strengths on page 72. The seller's usually incapable of doing the repairs. They are overwhelmed. The lenders will get overwhelmed by quantity. The private parties can just get overwhelmed by the project. So therein lies our strength if we can deal with that. Vacant houses costing sellers every month. Vacant houses have a lot of liability attached to them and are usually uninsured. Again, they don't know that, but it is true. Limited competition from mom-and-pop buyers, especially in the next cycle. We've had the luxury of selling properties, and this is the last property I sold in San Bernardino now was about a year and a half ago. It was at a perfect time to sell. I never painted the property. I never replaced the carpet. And it didn't matter because the market was so hot, we had something like 70 showings in 2 days. Or one day. I think I only said, let's list it on Monday. And we had all kinds of over full price offers. We're not there anymore. And so now, when somebody brings a so-so property to market, it's not going to sell. It's going to be against lots of competition that's in top shape. And so the mom-and-pop buyers that would come in and overpay for that inventory won't do it anymore. So they're not going to be as much of our competition. And when they come to an auction, it's the same way. We'll be sitting in a room full of 2,000 people, but they're not as motivated to buy as they used to be. And when the inventory is less than really nice, the prices can descend pretty quickly. Our strength is that we have cash and we provide speed and we buy as is. When you're dealing with the main objections, and we're now on the bottom, middle of page 72, so the seller is the price is too low and the repairs are overestimated. If you need to, and you don't always need to, I would go down and break down the cost of repairs. I would show the holding cost and selling cost, and that's why I've given you that information. I would emphasize the scope of work and the time and risk involved. The lenders understand this, by the way, because they get this picture painted for them by the agent, called a broker price opinion. So they know exactly what is going to be the price of fixing this and how long it's going to take to do it. So these guys understand, if they sell you the property, they understand basically that you've taken their place and deserve the margin that they would have gotten had they gone through the hassle. In essence, that's all we're doing, is replacing the lender and making the 10 or 15% they decided it wasn't worth. Emphasize the time commitment. Dealing with this property will mean if they don't sell it to you, it could be 6 months down the road before they get it fixed, they get a tenant out, and they get it resold, or longer. And at that time, the price may be worth less than it is right now. Emphasize the owner will incur every expense, you will, and more. The person that thinks they're going to be saving a lot of money fixing their own house hasn't fixed very many houses, because they're going to be dealing with contractors. Do those guys always do what they say? Not at all. Sometimes they show up and do half the work, they take all of the money, and they go do another project. So unless somebody's been through that, they don't realize they're taking a risk when they take that on. Substantiate the offer with comparable sales and or letter from happy past clients. What gets really nice in the next cycle is you end up with a real difference in comps. Right now, you have predominantly retail comps. When we start getting auction buys and we start getting deals that we get from lenders in the MLS, all of a sudden there's going to be these two worlds of comparable sales. There's going to be the wholesale world and there's going to be the retail world. And there will be legitimate differences because these needed work and these did not. And as those things spread, if the broker is selling a fixer-upper and he's smart, he'll use the comps that are equivalent to the inventory, and that allows us to buy the property and have the spread. And the more you do in a certain area, the more you control the comps that you get to use. They're your comps. That's what's really fun. When you've bought the few dozen properties and every comp they look at happens to have your name on it, that's a pretty powerful position to be in. It's a little hard to argue with you what the value is because you have a whole pile of comps that they can look at. So that's basically the negotiating of an all-cash deal below market.
This is the end of this CD. Please continue to the next.